Good evening. Tonight is Tuesday, July 22nd, 2025. This is the regular meeting of the Derby Board of Apportionment and Taxation. I would like to call this meeting to order at 6:05 p.m. Can we stand for the pledge?
I pledge allegiance to the flag.
To the flag of the United States of America.
And to the republic.
For which it
stands,
one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Can we get a roll call, please?
Yes, ma'am. Ms. DeRoche?
Present.
Thank you. Ms. Jermaine Izzo?
Present.
Mr. Gray?
Present.
Ms. Mancini Wright?
She's excused.
Thank you. Ms. Pirelli Silkoff?
She's excused.
Ms. Patel?
Present.
Thank you. Mr. Rivera?
Present.
Ms. Simon?
Present.
And Ms. Wobno?
Present.
Okay. Colleen, you've got 7 members present.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Item number 4, additions, deletions, corrections, and adoption of the agenda. There are no changes. Can we have a motion to approve?
I motion, Jennifer.
Motion made by Jen. Is there a second?
Bhamini Patel, second.
Thank you. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Agenda adopted. Public portion, item number 5. Does anybody from the public wish to speak? Does anybody from the public wish to speak?
Yes, good evening. Karen Chemises, 25 John Street. I'm glad to see that we finally have an audit. I wanted to get it clear in my head, though. This is the years that was from the previous administration, and this is what was inherited by the current administration, and this was what resulted in us having to have a large mill increase because of this budget. Is that correct?
Hi, Karen. So, yes, this budget was created and established by the previous administration. A lot of the actuals, it kind of spanned the two administrations, meaning the first 6 months the previous administration was in place, the second 6 months the current one was in place, and that's where you'll, and obviously I'll speak to it, you know, a lot of the changes to the actuals as far as using a lot of the ARPA funds and making some tough choices on, you know, what to do with funding the pension. That was done by this administration, and that allowed us to get to the surplus that I'm going to talk about later on.
Oh, that's, thank you. I wanted to get it on the record, number one, and number two, I wanted to get it clear in my mind. Also, for the record, I was noticing that Parking Authority, since it's been disbanded for many years, but it's showing that there's no reports, there's no revenues that are retained. Apparently, it's totally defunct. It just goes by what's happening within the yearly budget, which I know that before it went defunct, there was funds in private accounts. So it's disturbing that that has shifted over the years. And my other concern, and then certainly I'm sure it's your concern as well, Mr. Hall, is the pension and how the underfunding has been chronic. And it looks like we're trying to move forward to get that straightened out. But I would hope that as you're speaking to this budget, you also touch on those two items. Thank you.
Thank you. Does anybody from the public wish to speak? Does anybody from the public wish to speak?
Madam Chair, Gino DiGiovanni, I'm here tonight to speak on transfer request, line item number 7. For the Sterling Opera House. So if anyone from the commission has any questions, I'll be ready to answer them when the time comes. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Gino, can you just, I do have just one question. When I was looking at one of the documents that came, yes. On the contract page, I believe it's the first, it identifies that the contract is offered on the 18th day of June and it was open till the 18th day of July. Can we assume that it?
Yeah, depending on what happens here tonight, I could just contact the mayor and the contractor and we can just get the dates changed before the mayor signs the contract. That's no problem. The price still stands as is in that contract, stated as the full amount. There's been no change.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Does anybody from the public wish to speak? Does anybody from the public wish to speak?
Mark Arfalo, town clerk, regarding item number 7A, the transfer. I just want to state for the record, I don't believe this transfer should go into the Sterling Opera House account. This is looking for a survey of city-owned property. So to me, it would be more appropriate that it goes into either a city property account or as engineering line items that we have if you're going to transfer that money. It's a city-owned property, and that's where it should go. And also, I don't know that this matter was brought before or approved by the Board of Aldermen, too. So that's just another issue of procedure that should be addressed. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. You know, in reference to that, Mark, I believe that we had already allocated money that was approved for the Sterling Opera House.
Just as a reminder, when we established the budget initially, one of the earlier passes had the line item for the Sterling Opera House in it. Where we landed was that we agreed that we put $2,500 that had been earmarked for the Sterling Opera House into the working balance, with the understanding that when the Sterling Opera House committee came back with tangible expenses that they wanted to utilize those funds for, we would come back to this committee and ask for approval for the transfer.
Thank you.
Brian, how much of that money, the $2,500, has been spent to date? Do you know? Is this the first? Would this be the first expense to hit that?
Yeah, this would be the first one.
Okay.
Okay. Does anybody from the public wish to speak? Does anybody from the public wish to speak? Third and final, does anybody from the public wish to speak? Public portion is now closed. Item number 6, approval of the minutes from June 25th, 2025. Is there a motion to approve?
Ashley Simon, I'll approve.
Motion made by Ashley. Is there a second?
Bamini Patel, second.
Seconded by Bamini. Any conversation? All in favor? Opposed? Minutes approved. Item number 7, transfer requests. There's a request to transfer $1,900 from the working balance account number 5020-58500 to the Sterling Opera House account number 5000-58005. Thank you.
Enjoy.
Is there a motion to approve?
Is this something that does have to be approved by the Board of Aldermen?
I think because when we budgeted this specifically in the working balance for this, I believe that we can approve it the way Brian is saying. I don't believe it has to go before the Board of Aldermen, Alderwomen.
Right.
Because it was specifically set aside in the working balance for this purpose.
Okay.
Right.
Long as it doesn't go beyond that 2,500, anything right. beyond that, I would think would have to go before the Board of Aldermen, Alderwomen, because similar to what we were discussing, someone needs to watch over the money that's being spent for this purpose.
Right, but this is a contract we're signing, right? Does that make a difference? It's not that we're just...
The mayor signs a contract.
But I'm just going back to Anita's time. A lot of the things the Board of Aldermen had to approve before she signed. I don't know. I'm just questioning that.
Hey, Madam Chair, it's underneath the... The Board of Aldermen's minimum contract amount as well. So it doesn't need to get approval. It's underneath, I believe it's 15,000 now since it got raised the last time, but don't quote me on that. I think it's 15,000. Then it has to go out to public bid, three bids, go through the whole process. This is only $1,900.
Correct. And, you know, I am of the same mindset that because we had already allocated the money in the original budget up to the amount of $2,500, I would believe that this was part of our set and established budget. So I would not believe that it had to go before the Board of Aldermen. Does anybody else from the board have any comments?
I'm just looking at the agenda and I'm seeing that it's on here to be approved. So I'm just questioning if it's on here to be approved by us. Can we approve it?
Well, the ordinance that the board of Aldermen approved said that if they had expenses, they had to go back to the Board of Aldermen. They didn't approve any line item or any expenses. Since they approved the ordinance and established the commission a few months ago, that was really the point that I was.
I'm sorry. Can you state that again?
Confused. So when the Board of Aldermen approved the ordinance says that if the commission is going to take the Sterling Opera House Commission is going to take any action, they have to bring it to the Board of Aldermen to be approved. They haven't brought anything before the Board of Aldermen to be approved other than the grant for the $100,000 that came from the state. This is in excess of that money. That was all. So this $1,900 was not, it wasn't even approved by the Sterling Opera House Commission. It didn't come up at their meeting and they didn't vote on it. It just came up through a letter from Steinberg Hart, but it wasn't approved by this commission. Nor was it approved by the Board of Aldermen.
Okay.
Madam Chair, the reason why it wasn't approved from the Sterling Opera House Commission, number one, it's a city-owned building. Number two, in my opinion, it should be coming out of the engineering cost of the city, however that gets done. The Sterling Opera House Commission, for a line item that was created, shouldn't be charged back to that line item, in my opinion. This is something that should have been done in the past, in years past. We haven't had a survey done on the city-owned property there since 1971 was the last map that was found in the city. The courthouse was built in 1985. According to the city records, 1971, 4th Street is still on those records. So therefore, when Steinberg Hart went to look at the documents that we sent them, they needed something to be updated. So therefore, I sent all the documentation over to the mayor's office along with the chief of staff. And this was the next course of action that she told me to do that in speaking with whomever we needed to come in front of you to get the line item approved. But I don't think it should even come out of our line item, to be honest with you. I think it's something that the city should have done and maintain the record of it. And I don't think it needs to go to the Board of Aldermen for approval anyway. It's not above the amount of money. So I just wanted to let you know that that's how we got to where we are right now.
Okay, but if I could just follow up, Mr. DiGiovanni, on what you just said. If you're saying that, and I would believe, I'm with you, I believe we had allocated the 2,500 and it is below that threshold. But if you're saying, I don't believe it should come out of our account, if we go ahead and approve it, you understand it is coming out of that account.
Oh, yes, Madam Chair, I understand. And if that's how the accounting from the finance director says that it should come out of this account for the money that was allotted for it, that's fine. But the money in this line item for the Sterling Opera House, in my opinion, shouldn't be used on surveying or engineering fees when there are survey engineering fees along that are attached to a line item in the city of Derby. I don't think that the Sterling Opera House should have to pay for a survey that doesn't belong to us. It's just my opinion. But if that's the way the accounting has to go, per our finance director saying that it's cleaner to come out of the Sterling Opera House from the $2,500 that was allotted and then minus this deduction out of it, that's fine. I don't have an issue with that. And if that's the way it needs to be, that's the way it needs to be. But I wanted the board to know that, nothing, we don't have a current survey for any of that property in that area, at least according to the documents that we have downstairs that we searched through. So 1971 was the last time any city property was surveyed down there. And the property lines for what are currently there are not accurate. So that is the reason why we're trying to get the property surveyed to update the map so that the Steinberg Hart, the company that's doing the feasibility study, the market analysis, and then they're in their design phase right now so that they could put, their design within the footprint that the city owns, because there's also a public sidewalk that goes there. So we need to know where these lines are so that they don't design something that's either A, on somebody else's property, or B, in a right of way, or, what comes after that. So we're just trying to see where the city boundaries are, what's part of the Sterling Opera House footprint, what's there, what's not. So this is, estimate along with the contract for $1,900 to do that, to do an A1 survey.
Okay, so just one final question. I guess my question to you would be, it is on the agenda. I think at least I'm willing to ask for a vote, but I can totally understand what you're saying about there being other, accounts for surveying and what have you. Obviously, that would have to go through a different process, which would be more timely. So we can either take action or we can table it and you could try to go through.
No, as long as our finance director says this is the best way to do our accounting, I'm not here to argue that. I mean, he's the man for that. So as long as the way we're doing it is on the up and up, in my opinion, then I don't have a problem with anything. I was just answering the question from our town clerk, Mark Arfalo.
Okay, thank you. Is there any other discussion?
Jose, I got a question for Gino. When were you guys looking to get this surveyed? Did you guys have like a certain timeline?
Yeah, so the contract date, Madam Chair, is... What was it, June 18th?
July 18th.
Yeah, so Jose, we've been trying to get the information together since the beginning of June, and here we are on the 22nd. So we have a meeting with Steinberg Hart on the progress of where they're at this Thursday, the 24th. So to be honest with you, if we don't get the okay tonight, then the surveyor can't move forward, so the project will come to a halt. I don't know what that entails, but that's where we're at. So it's been 6 weeks or so since 7 or 8 weeks actually to get all this together and to make it to this point.
Yeah, so I think it's safe to say we need to try to take some type of action today.
It would be greatly appreciated if the tax board did.
Thank you.
Just one more thing, and maybe it's a dumb question, but with all the work that was done in the 34 corridor out here, the survey that covered this didn't go far enough up to cover the Opera House. Did anybody check on that?
Yeah, so that's first of all, the construction limits to the 34 corridor stops
at the end of the block.
At the end of the block, yeah.
It didn't have any bearing going beyond that?
That is correct. I did check with them, but then also, too, that's a state project.
Yeah.
Affiliated with the city of Derby, and this is city-owned property from when the green, you know, in 4th Street were reconfigured for when the courthouse was built.
So there was
property that was granted, pieces of it. There was 4 parcels there, and then they ended up only with 3 parcels. So there was, I don't know how that went, but the city gave property to the state for the courthouse, and then the street was taken out. So, you know, according to the documentation that we have, the last survey that was done was 1971, and that was before the courthouse was built in 85.
Thanks.
Okay. Are there any other questions? Okay, hearing none, I will ask for a motion to approve the $1,900 transfer as indicated. Is there a motion?
Jose motions.
Motion made by Jose. Is there a second?
Ashley, I'll second.
Seconded by Ashley. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Item number 8, 2324, audit presentation by Finance Director.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for your time this evening. We're going to be discussing the 2324 audit that was completed at the end of June. I understand that there's a lot of materials in these audits, including in what's in my deck. The board has not had sufficient time to really review everything. Happy to give this overview this month, and then next month, I'm sure the board will be much more prepared for any kind of questions or follow-ups that they have. But that said, feel free to stop me with any other questions or comments as I work through this. All right.
Yeah, and if I could just touch on, you know, to the board, I know everybody got the documents last night at 6:30. I don't know about you, but I know personally I have not had time to go through it. I did have conversations with Brian and asked that we be able to follow up with any questions we may have at our next regular meeting. So thank you, Brian. I appreciate it.
Sure, absolutely. So we've talked a little bit about this. This was related to the 23-24 fiscal year. And as we noted, this was a budget that was created by the previous administration, again, following some of the similar, you know, poor budgeting practices that, you know, has generated deficit year after year the previous few years. You know, and again, this, there would have been exact same thing would have happened. We would have had another deficit, but not for the following actions, you know, that were taken by the administration, the Board of Aldermen and Alderwomen, and the Board of Apportionment and Taxation. You know, and a couple of those key items were the use of $1.7 million of the ARPA funds, you know, to cover governmental expenses that, you know, budget or unbudgeted, we needed the money to cover those expenses to add back to the general fund. Also, we did have to reduce the contributions for the pension in that particular year. It did not have a material impact on the overall funding level, still at 82.35%. We've always kind of hovered around 80% over the last bunch of years. You know, you hope to get to the ultimate 100%, but, you know, that's going to take time. You know, we did contribute the $1 million that we were supposed to contribute in the 24-25 fiscal year. So we're definitely back on track as far as that goes. This was sort of a one-time pickup that we did in order to kind of get us over the hump for this particular budget cycle. Some other positive things to note was that, you know, our interest earned was up almost $287,000 above budget and $217,000 above prior year. So, you know, that really shows that from a treasury perspective, we're making sure that the money is in accounts that are generating interest for the city. You know, we've renegotiated a lot of our deals with our banks and try to maximize interest while eliminating any kind of fees that are associated with a lot of our banking. The other change, and you know, there's a lot of volatility when it comes to the medical claims and the workers' comp IBNR. I mean, the year before it went the other way, and this is something that I'm going to work with our auditors to discuss. Just creating a separate fund. So you may find me in front of this board to just ask to create a separate fund, likely not for the medical claims anymore, because now that the city's moved to the partnership, we go from a self-funded situation to a fully funded situation, and a lot of this volatility is going to disappear. So likely that's not going to be needed anymore. But for the workers' comp, it's still something where it likely makes sense to create a separate fund. That's more of a long-term reserve, workers' comp IBNR. You know, it's intended to be used for claims that are likely going to get paid out in the future related to, you know, comp issues that occurred many, many years ago. So that's something that you'll likely, I'll be in front of you discussing in the near future. But overall, we were able to increase the general fund balance by $1.843 million and get it up to $4.425 million. So, you know, not really at that 10% threshold that we're targeting. We're not there yet, but it's a great pickup. It really helped save us from a ratings perspective. I know S&P, when I talked with them, they were really heavily looking at this number and saying, like, it doesn't really matter anything else. If your general fund balance is too low as a percent of your total expenditures, you're going to get downgraded. We were able to avoid that really in part because of talking about all the things we had done and where we expected this audit to land. And we delivered on that. So I actually expect in the future that while we were, you know, not downgraded, but we were, you know, in a position where they were kind of monitoring you, I think they're even going to stop that. We'll get back to just kind of normal levels. This is a reminder. So the one issue is still really lingering, and I do have to work with the Board of Ed to figure out how to fix this. And that's just that the Board of Education grants have not been separated from the general fund, and that still is causing a lot of variances that we'll talk through. Under no circumstances do I want to budget for this. We need to figure out how to fix it so we can pull it out. If we budget for it, it's going to look like our expenses go through the roof. And then that means you lose funding. It comes with a whole host of other problems. And it just shouldn't be that way. So we just got to figure out how to do the right things so that we can keep it all completely separate. You'll see in the findings, you know, commingling of funds was certainly contributing to the reason why you have to keep it in the general fund. If you can't separate it easily, then it has to kind of stay where it is. So this is something we have to fix going forward for many reasons, but not the least of which is to just get this in its own separate fund. When it comes to grants, you get the grant money, you spend the grant money, right? It should just be in and out. The timing of all that really shouldn't be convoluted and mixed in with the rest of our general fund education expenses, which is what it currently is doing. The Board of Ed adjusted budget for operating expenses was a little over $20 million. That was up from the $19.6 million. So just to remind everybody, we did have to raise their budget. They had to use their non-lapsing fund that they had saved up due to some overspending challenges they had there. And then there was always this issue with these unbudgeted insurance waivers and some other costs on the Board of Ed side that they thought the city should budget for. And, you know, and again, we've fortunately addressed this with all of our budgeting going forward. But this was sort of the carryover from many years of this particular problem. You know, that said, we still did miss even the new budget number by a little over 100,000. So, you know, the Board of Ed is still a challenge. You'll see a lot of the issues and findings related to the Board of Ed. They brought in a new consultant to help with a lot of what they're trying to do to fix many of these items. So we'll see. And I myself too, I'm trying to take a little bit larger role to help them in any way I can. But as we've discussed, there's a lot of challenges with them being on different systems. And, you know, they've completely, it's really just very siloed. And it's almost like you've got two real finance teams. They've got their own payroll, their own Board of Ed, or their own AP. They don't have any accounting resources. So it's very difficult. We're in a difficult situation. Moving on to the next slide, where we talk a little bit about the revenues, budget versus actuals, particularly around the original budget and the final budget. I think historically you've probably seen these numbers look the same. You know, this is really one of the first years where we're doing a lot of the transfers and getting everything approved, doing it the right way. And what you'll see, this final budget is really a reflection of everything after all the transfers and the approvals that were done by this board. So that variance is often being compared to the final budget. You know, you never want to lose sight of the original budget, because oftentimes you end up approving things that, you know, kind of like on the Board of Ed side, you know, you wish you hadn't had to approve, but, you know, it is what it is, and you do it. When we look at the property tax numbers, you know, we have a pretty large variance there, $1.37 million. Some of that is just geography, $727,000. Again, budgeted in the wrong place, basically, but instead of in intergovernmental, we get the motor vehicle cap tax reimbursement from the state, so therefore that should be an intergovernmental. But you probably also remember that we did have an issue with the collection rate assumptions in the budgets. That was definitely a problem this year. It was a problem in past years when it came to budgets. I think they were budgeting north of 98, 99% when it's like closer to 96. So that there was really no getting around. So that's where you see the rest of the $643,000 shortfall. That, you know, fortunately we're able to make it up in a few other places. We talked about the investment income. That's really the, again, higher, earning better interest rates and interest on our cash. That's the $287,000. We're collecting some interest and lien fees on some of the old past due balances, which was helpful. On the government side, again, this is a lot of geography because of the Board of Ed grant revenues that I touched on briefly. You'll see something similar on the expense side, where it's a bad guy for roughly the same amount. Moving on to the general fund expenses. Again, similar format, you've got the final budget, which is after all of the transfer requests that have been approved. From a general government perspective, this was the most favorable at $2 million. The largest portion of that, again, is geography, the LOSIP expenses, some of that back LOSIP money, $787,000 that Derby was able to recover because we did a five-year capital plan for the first time in many, many years, and we were able to actually do some investment into infrastructure, which allows you to then go to and try to recover these LOSIP funds that, unfortunately, Derby probably would have lost had we not done this. So it was a great win. It was a lot of money. But ultimately, it's going to end up in the silo fund, kind of where the road bonds are, because that's what we ended up spending a lot of it on. And it just freed up some more money for roads in other places. The other favorability, again, was IBNR reserve adjustment. you know, I do have a background in insurance, and I was really questioning a lot of the IBNR calculations from our auditors. I was doing my own calculations based on the actuals, and was able to, you know, really push them to come up with a much lower reserve number than they had historically done in the past. Also, the stop loss recovery was far greater than, you know, really what I expected. So we almost got back $937,000 through stop loss. For those of you who are not maybe familiar with that terminology, a stop loss is like insurance for insurance, meaning once a claim goes up, you know, we're covered up to our, we pay up to $125,000 per person when you're self-insured. Any claims or costs above $125,000 are covered by an insurance carrier, and we refer to that often as stop loss. So, you know, the year before it was only a little over $300,000. So it was almost $600,000 higher in stop loss payments to help offset some of the claims. So while claims were up, they were kind of concentrated with a handful of individuals, which is actually really good for anyone who's self-insured, because if you have the stop loss coverage, you do end up getting some of that back. But the timing of it typically is, you know, many, many months behind when the actual claims occur. So we have to pay the claims up front, and then you kind of hope that the money comes back later. And then, you know, we had a couple buckets within the city that were really underutilized as far as where the expenses go, some of which we've reduced or removed altogether in the current year budget. I'm on slide three, this slide right here. Yep. Yeah, we're still on general fund expenses. The public safety portion, the next line down. So that's unfavorable, $708,000. That's a lot, got everything to do with police outside work. And the expenses for police outside work are in this line item. We budgeted, or the previous administration budgeted, for there to be practically no outside work from the police being done. And we ended up, you know, north of $1 million worth. Well, if you've got north of $1 million worth of work, a lot of that ends up being expenses, and it's in here. And again, this is another one where I'm likely to be coming back to the board and asking to pull this out and create a separate fund, just to, again, eliminate some of this noise that's here with some of the geography when you see higher expenditures or higher revenue, and I've got to kind of pull it all out to tell the right story anyway. This was also something that MFAC has been pushing the last few meetings, as far as finding these items to pull out of the general fund, things that create this volatility or these geography issues. So the rest of the departments, you know, Public Works, Parks and Rec, Health and Welfare, you know, all these things came just slightly favorable to budget, which is great. It means there was a lot of diligence by many of the directors as far as managing their budgets, staying within budgets overall. Obviously, we know there are transfers within their departments where they have to shuffle things around, but generally speaking, and this would even go for the police, because they would have been favorable, but not for the outside work issue. You know, I've been very happy with the level of effort that all the directors are giving when it comes to, you know, managing within their budgets. The Board of Ed, we talked about that unfavorability, and then the Board of Ed grants, the almost $8 million upside, you know, higher expenses. Like you said, you saw the flip side on the revenue side. Lastly, the debt service. This is a geography issue that will, I'll clean up. We didn't clean it up in this budget. Probably the next budget cycle, we'll look at this, where we pay all the WPCA debt. It typically comes out of the general fund, and then we get the money back from the WPCA. From an accounting standpoint, this is an intercompany transaction that should all wash. But as it's going and working throughout the year, just to help keep track of it, right? I make sure that, okay, as I pay the expense, it goes here. As I get the money from the WPCA, it shows up in revenue. You want to make sure it's all getting done appropriately and you've haven't missed anything. And then once it's all done and the year's over, then you can kind of wash it all out with one big entry that says, okay, no revenue, no expense. It's all just on the WPCA side. That is the proper accounting, and that's what gets done in the audit. We can't adjust our budget to do that. I think, you know, it's just making sure you don't lose some of that visibility as far as the day-to-day and making sure these transactions actually happen. You know, if somebody doesn't know any better and they don't see it in the budget, they may not look for it, or they may, you know, and then something could get missed, and then that's a real big problem.
Ryan, can I just ask, on that specifically, I don't see any numbers. This might be a stupid question. For debt service, like, what are we talking?
So the 3.4 million was the budget. The actual was 1.9. It's all sitting in interest. I'm not sure exactly why. I think this is just a mistake on the schedule and the audit. There certainly should be a portion of our debt service that comes from principal. But I'll look over that. But we were absolutely are paying our bond debt. Cash wise, it's pretty close to the 3.4 million between the city and the WPCA. But the city portion cash is closer to the 1.9, and then WPCA is like 1.5.
Okay.
The next slide is really just putting the last two slides together in one place so that you can see where there's our revenues, here's our expenditures, the net of which is we picked up the 1.8 million. And that adds to the fund balance of roughly 2.6 to start with. And now you're at 4.4 million overall. Now, on the actual expenses of 57.9 million, you know, that's a little less than 8%. However, you know, if we go off the 50 million number, it's a much better answer, and we're getting closer where we want to be. So, you know, that's why, again, it's so important that we get this, you know, we get these revenues down. And we get this grant revenue out of there so that we can kind of lower that on both the revenue and the expense side. Because like I said, if we can get the 50 million of expenses and we're at 4.4, you know, we're almost at our 10%, right? We're 600,000 away. So that's the goal. The next page is just a little bit of a recap of overall debt for the city. And we really haven't issued debt in a while. I know that's something we're going to be looking to do. So we've more or less just been paying off the old issuances of debt, which is why you'll see, you know, it's gone from, you know, 19.37 down to 18.052. So, you know, well, I'm sorry, it's still at 19.3. There's just the current versus the long-term portion. But it's been going down year on year. It doesn't go down a ton. It'll go down a million, like you said, what you're paying off in the principal side of it. This does not include the 3 million in bands that were issued for the repaving of roads. There's still over, I want to say almost like 1.7 million off the top of my head that's left to be spent. I know the mayor is discussing some plans for which roads to repave. Depending on the timing of that, that will really determine, do we bond this debt out in October? Because that's kind of when it becomes due, or do we roll it over and just wait another year and probably bond it out maybe with a larger bond offering potentially? I have to figure that out in the next couple of weeks with the mayor of what we want to do there. But regardless, the point being, it's excluded in the totals above. The 5.587 million in notes payable, that's related to the Johnson Controls project. That was from years ago. And then, you know, the benefit of that was supposed to be we have lower expenses over time. Very hard to quantify. and keep track of what the expense savings were based on an assumption from many, many years ago. So it's much more prudent to just budget what you know you have to pay back and hope it was working as it should be. And we'll all just have to take a bit of a flyer that our expenses would have been a lot more had we not done the project. The WPCA, which is in here, they have about another $12.56 million in debt outstanding. They have the ability to borrow $13.6 million for plan upgrades if they need to. So that's related to a referendum that was done, again, many, many years ago. They haven't drawn down on those. So, you know, as the plans are coming together for the new plant that's going to be built and the money is starting to be needed, you know, the first $13.6 million is covered. After that, there'll have to be another referendum to, you know, for the come up with the ability to raise more money and capital, as that new plant would likely cost $50 to $60 million. The next section will talk a little bit about the pension. I know this is a little bit of an eye chart. Most of it is just historical data that you've likely seen. You know, the column with 2024 is the most recent information. What I can say is nothing has changed that dramatically as far as the servicing costs, the interest on the pension liability. All those have been, you know, relatively consistent. A little bit of change in some of the assumptions, but more or less we're at the same place from a pension liability perspective, gone up $600,000. You do see employer contributions of $500,000. So that's what we talked about. We lowered it from the budgeted $1 million. $1 million is more what we're supposed to be contributing each year. And like I said, that is what we contributed in 24, 25. But otherwise, we had a good year investment income wise, as far as earning return on those investments that generated 1.6. Markets have been pretty good, so I wouldn't expect this to be materially different come next year when the next audit comes out, with the hope being, okay, between paying now the $1 million, hopefully investment income's up, hopefully this 82.35% that we have gets us maybe closer to 85, and we're at kind of all-time high over this last, you know, 7-8 years as far as the percent of pension liability that's funded. Then, real briefly, I'll just touch a little bit on the WPCA as far as their cash flows. They do have almost 7.8 million cash as of June. So, you know, we can use that again to start to pay down some of these upgrades that have been happening. We ended up banned out, meaning short-term bans, $2 million. Didn't make sense to try to bond that out or continue to roll it over when you have the cash in the bank. You know, why incur all these fees and interest on that money? So we paid that down this year, and I'm trying my best to work down that cash balance before we then have to go borrow against that $13 million we're talking about. And then ultimately before it has to go to a referendum and you have to start to really go raise some more money. They'll spend roughly $2 million in 24-25 on plant improvements, mostly with our engineering firm doing the design work for what the new plant's going to look like and how it's going to work. That's full on in flight right now. You know, probably costing around $100,000 a month that the engineering firm is doing. And as I mentioned, we did pay down the $2 billion in short-term borrowings in 24-25 rather than bond it out and incur a bunch of fees and chew into it. Like I said, so next audit, you expect this cash balance to be down a few million dollars, but just know, again, that's the strategy, right? Use that cash. Keep expenses low, save up as much as you can for when you're really going to need it in the next few years. And then lastly, I'll just touch a bit on the audit findings. So there were still six deficiencies in the audit findings, all of which were repeats. The double entry accounting challenges at the Board of Ed with our operations grant and activity funds. And I've talked with them about that. You know, this is something I'm hopeful that we can get fixed. Bank reconciliations, you know, I would say definitely staffing challenges at both the city and the Board of Ed have led to this. I mean, the Board of Ed needs a balance sheet. They know that's one of the big accomplishments they need to have, or none of this will work, right? You need a beginning balance so that you can then record the activity and get to an ending balance. If you don't have a balance sheet, you don't have a beginning balance, you know, you can't do a bank rec, right? So we'll never get the bank recs working. I think on the city side, we're in a much better place now with our staff. We're good in the tax office, which allows me and some the new hire to focus on some of the accounting to make sure all the bank recs are done and the accounting's in good place. The availability of the financial information, and again, this is something I'm hopeful we can fix on both of our sides, as far as getting information to the auditor in a timely manner so that they can do their work. You know, the reconciliation between the city and the Board of Ed was the biggest holdup this year. You know, part of that is, again, this double entry accounting, right? If there's no record of where the cash came from or who it went to, makes reconciliation very difficult. So we've had to put some new processes in place in order to better certainly track it on the city side. We're really tracking more of it on both the city and the Board of Ed side. However, there are still accounts when it comes to school lunch accounts and things like that that just don't have visibility into. They're on even yet another system. They're using QuickBooks. So without all of the pieces, there is still really going to rely on the Board of Ed to take some additional steps in order to get to a place where this reconciliation between the two groups can occur. And then again, the commingling at the Board of Ed with their operation and grant monies, we need that fixed for many reasons, like we just talked about, not the least of which is just to separate out that grant money and put it in a different fund. Three of the significant deficiencies were corrected from the 22-23 audit, so we are making some progress. However, these are some big pieces. We're going to have a new audit this year, Claremont & Associates. It's probably been almost 2 decades since we've had a new auditor in the city, so maybe more. So I'm looking forward to working with them. They, you know, signed a 3-year deal with them. They're very eager to help Derby figure out a lot of these deficiencies. I think it's going to be a great kind of fresh start for everybody, and I'm very excited about it. They're going to be in tomorrow already, kind of starting with things. So I'm very hopeful that they're going to help us with many of these findings, and just in general with, you know, our accounting practices and our workflow going forward.
Yeah, and just looking at, to think that when we started, there were 9 that we were citing, you know, at the start of this administration. I mean, I know we're at 6, we have corrected 3, but still sounds troubling. I do get the staffing issues and challenges we have faced. I would just have hoped we would be in a better place there.
Yeah, I agree. I think the first 6 months we weren't here, so you're really trying to catch up the back. There's certain things you can't do. You know, wasn't here, so you can't. There's some things you just couldn't be fixed. You can't pretend they're going to be fixed. You know, I can't come in and say these bank recs were done when they weren't, right? So there's certain things that just are going to be unavoidable. I think if they're still there in the next one, you know, that's certainly a little more troubling and requires some more explaining.
Well, I do think even just by getting a new auditor in, looks like a step in the direction, right direction, along with being fully staffed. I mean, I know for a long time, all of our departments were pulling double duty, and certainly nobody can continue to work that way. So,
yeah, I mean, when I was spending a month in the tax office in January, it did not help with a lot of this audit stuff there. You know, certainly there are things I could have done to speed it up, probably likely would have got done sooner. I don't know that there would have been, quite honestly, less of these deficiencies, but I'm very hopeful that it's not going to be the case going forward. You know,
do you think there's a chance moving forward to get both the town, the city, and the BOE on the same financial system? You know, just listening to MFAC and just from personal experience, you know, many of the people on the MFAC who are in finance directors positions, I mean, a lot of them use Munis. Many municipalities use it. It has all of your workflows built into it. Is that something that's possibly down the road to help with a lot of this? Because it sounds like, unfortunately for you, you're pulling double duty in some areas, and especially when it comes to grants, whether state, federal, and keeping those from, as you said, commingling into your general fund, you really want to delineate those and separate them out, because it creates those huge variances with your expenses and your revenues. So, and it's deceitful. It's not deceitful. It's deceiving in the budget to someone who might be reading it, but doesn't have the context behind it.
Yeah, sure. No, that should absolutely be a goal of ours to do. You know, we're inefficient. We're duplicating a lot of efforts. So, you know, between cost savings and then, you know, other benefits that, you know, could potentially occur. Sure, absolutely. And, you know, they have they're on like a Munis type software at the Board of Ed. You know, the city migrated to the new software at the beginning of this fiscal year. So, but that said, I'm not married to anything, and we could evaluate for sure what it could look like on switching over to just the one system, whichever one that is. Yeah. So I know that's a, you know, kind of a high level overview. Like I said, when you get some time to go through the audit, you can look at the deck and we can regroup next month and start thinking about what other questions we have. And I'll just get some more feedback from the auditor this week. And then we can start to develop, okay, what's the right strategies going forward to get rid of some of these geography issues and make this a lot cleaner audit going forward.
Okay. Thank you very much, Brian. Is there any questions from the team? Thank you.
Okay.
Okay, item number 9, adjournment. Is there a motion to adjourn?
Ashley, I'll adjourn. Or I'm on.
Okay, motion made by Ashley. Is there a second?
Laura, second.
Okay, motion made by Laura. Any discussion? Meeting adjourned. All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you, everyone. I appreciate your attendance. Time 7:03.